Text, Hallmark Movies and Mysteries presents. Title, Gourmet Detective, A Healthy Place to Die. A man jogs on the sidewalk on an overcast day. Credits, Dylan Neal, Brooke Burns. He passes a stone fence that overlooks a stretch of seaside homes. Credits, Steve Valentine. He drinks from his water bottle as he passes a couple strolling on the sidewalk. Credits, Crystal Lowe, Matthew Kevin Anderson. He slows his pace and gasps for air as he holds his hand on his chest. He collapses, clutching his chest. Passers-by run to his aid. A woman holds his head while a man checks his breathing and pulse. The man begins chest compressions while the fallen water bottle drips next to them on the sidewalk. Text, 6 years later. A steady stream of cars crosses the Golden Gate Bridge. Credits, casting by Jackie Lind, CSA, music by James Jandrich. The sun shines over Telegraph Hill in San Francisco. A woman carries a bakery box toward a house. A man chops herbs in the kitchen.
It's open.
She sets the box on the counter.
Hey, Henry.
Hey.
First you get the email, they just forwarded it to you. What's going on in here?
Minor panic over this dish for the conference.
Well, it smells great. Don't worry, you always freak out before these things and end up making something amazing.
He shrugs.
Can I have some? I skipped breakfast.
She grins.
Yes, you can, but do me a favor, okay? Don't skip breakfast. You always get hangry with the clients.
Hangry?
Hungry plus angry equals hangry.
Oh. Well, speaking of clients, I got a weird call for you today from a Kathleen Evans. She says she's a journalist. She met you at a party. She's desperate to talk with you. She said it was quite urgent.
Oh, they always say that.
No, it sounded serious. She was just confirming that she'd see you at the event this weekend.
Hmm. She leave a number?
No, she wants to talk to you in person.
Does she sound cute? You know, Lucy, most people would kill to come with me this weekend.
Obviously, I'd tag along if I could, but I'm going to be the only single girl at a bridal shower.
He smiles and peeks at the cake in the box.
Oh, wow.
Isn't it gorgeous? Mm. I can deliver it to the station for you if you want.
No. I got it.
Yeah, thought you might say that.
He raises his chin and smiles. Patrol cars sit outside the police station. A detective enters the workspace.
Cross-checks on St. Vincent case.
Thank you.
She looks at the file.
Bryce, you all right? Looking kind of pale.
I'm fine. Just a little tired.
All right.
The captain approaches.
There you are, Price. I need to have a word with you. I just got off the phone with HR, who are all over me, because apparently you have 6 weeks of vacation time that you haven't used up yet. You've also racked up too much overtime, and you haven't used your rollover days, which the union is on my back about. I need you to take a vacation.
Well, I can't take one now. I've got cases.
Well, the boys can take over.
Done.
No. Monroe?
Price.
She yanks the file.
Where's the birthday girl?
Henry? What are you doing here?
There she is.
What are you up to?
Oh, just bringing you a triple chocolate cake from Portola's on your special day.
That's my favorite place. How did you know that?
I listened.
It's your birthday?
Happy birthday!
I got you a little,
Somebody in the car?
Yeah.
Card.
Flowers.
Chocolate.
Yeah.
Nice to see you again, Maggie.
Yeah. Hi. So, if we didn't know, how did you know?
We're Facebook friends. You should try it sometime.
Facebook?
Right. She scowls.
All right, guys, I'll get some plates.
Henry uncovers the cake.
So, what's new in the gourmet world? What are you jetting off to this week?
Well, this weekend I'm staying local, actually. I'm attending a gourmet conference at the Larkspur Pines Resort.
Fancy.
Man, I picked the wrong job.
You know what? I have a second suite paid for and sitting empty all weekend. My assistant had to cancel on me. You're welcome to it.
Tempting, but I work all weekend.
That's too bad. We have top chefs coming in from all over the country, serving incredible food and wine. There's a free spa package.
You're making it worse. Well, that's perfect, because Price is taking some forced R&R.
Wait, what?
As of 6 o'clock tonight, you are on vacation, whether you like it or not. Now, if you want to stay home and watch paint dry, that's up to you. But only a crazy person turns down a free vacation.
That is a great idea.
I'm not going away with you.
Away with me? No, we'd be going in tandem, not together. I'm going to be working the whole event, so you'd hardly even see me.
A selling point for sure. Thank you, but no thank you.
Why? What are you afraid of?
Being surrounded by a hotel full of pretentious foodies tops the list.
Ah. Okay. I get it.
Maggie swivels around and glares.
What do you get?
It's not your thing. You'd be uncomfortable.
You don't think I could fit in?
No, I'm sure you could. It's just not your scene.
How do you know what my scene is? For the record, I fit in everywhere.
Sure. You just can't relax enough to actually enjoy it.
That is so true.
That is so not true. What about the holiday office party? We do karaoke. My Cyndi Lauper blew the roof off.
He scowls.
Look, I know you like to think of me as boring old uptight Maggie, but you have never spent any downtime with me.
Great, come with me. Let your hair down.
Fine, I will.
Really?
Yeah.
Great, that's settled.
Bailey sets down a stack of plates.
What, did you go home for these?
Henry turns to Maggie.
I'll pick you up tomorrow.
Perfect.
She turns away and he smiles. Maggie packs a suitcase with her daughter's help.
Nope. Thank you.
A purple shirt.
Mom, this shirt is tragic.
When did you become the fashion police?
When you started committing fashion crimes.
See, I don't have anything to wear. I shouldn't even go.
Of course you're going. Please go, Mom.
Why are you so happy to see me leave?
She exchanges a smile with Doris.
Ah, when Mom's away, all the rules go out the window.
We're spending all day tomorrow at the boardwalk.
First, we're going on the Giant Dipper, then the Undertow.
Then the Fireball, then the Cliffhanger.
And then we're going to go see a double feature.
And get popcorn with extra butter.
And Sour Patch Kids for dessert.
Maggie pouts.
Wow, you guys have it all worked out, huh?
Yes, we do. So there's no point in arguing. Get packing.
Say hi to Henry for us.
Maggie frowns as they leave.
I'm gonna miss you guys.
She falls back onto the bed and sighs. Maggie fidgets in the passenger seat as Henry drives down a rural road lined with tall evergreens.
So what is this weekend about exactly, anyway?
Oh, it's just a gathering of chefs from around the country all trying to outdo one another while acting very nonchalant about the whole thing.
So are you nervous?
Me?
He shakes his head.
No.
I mean, you must be feeling the pressure a little bit.
No pressure. I'm just going to enjoy the weekend. That's all.
Oh, then that makes two of us.
I already booked a massage for when we first arrived.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Way to embrace the experience.
Thank you.
I'm just sorry there's no karaoke. Cyndi Lauper, I would literally pay to see that.
Because you assume I'm terrible?
No, not at all. You never do anything in public if you weren't great at it. Come on, that was a compliment.
Wrapped up in a put-down. My ex-husband used to do that. It was really annoying.
All I'm saying is that I'm glad you haven't completely shut the door to having fun in life. That's all.
You literally just did it again. You make me sound like I am a total drudge, when in fact I am a fun person.
Okay.
A really fun person.
Great, I believe you.
Good.
Of course, if that were true, you wouldn't be quite so defensive.
She closes her eyes.
You know you have a ridiculously clean car?
Thank you.
That wasn't a compliment.
A fountain sprays in the courtyard of a multi-storied hotel. Sign, Larkspur Pines Resort and Spa. A man whirs past on a golf cart as guests unload their luggage. Henry and Maggie get out of the car and look around.
Not bad.
I told you. By the way, I gave you the presidential suite. I'm taking Lucy's room.
She stares in surprise.
You're welcome.
A woman in a suit approaches.
Henry Ross? I'm Evelyn DeWitt.
Of course. Nice to meet you finally in person.
Hi, Detective Price. Maggie Price, off duty. And ready to relax. Well, you've come to the right place. The bellman will take your bags. If you'll follow me, please.
All right.
Henry smiles at Maggie as they follow Evelyn into the spacious lobby.
I'm sorry. I was under the impression that you were bringing your assistant.
They stare.
I booked two separate suites. Oh, no, we're not. No.
No, we work together.
No, we don't.
Well, sometimes we do.
One time we did, and not Beatrice.
He frowns.
Okay, well, the welcome reception is at 6. I hope you can both join us. Oh, and just a little FYI, Daniel Stark will be joining us at the conference this weekend.
Wait, the Daniel Stark?
She's preparing to play a chef in her next movie.
Well, look, I mean, if she would like some tips, I would be more than happy to show her a couple of things.
Maggie smirks.
Shall I show you upstairs?
Actually, I'd like to first check on my food deliveries, make sure that everything's arriving for my presentation tomorrow morning.
Of course. Would you like to see the kitchen? I'd love to, but I actually have a massage booked and a presidential suite to settle into.
Evelyn smiles at Henry as Maggie leaves them.
I gave her my room.
Smart move.
No, honestly, it's not like that. I'm really not trying.
He follows Evelyn. Maggie strides down a wide corridor and stops to swipe her key card on a door. She steps inside the suite and stares in amazement.
Wow.
A floor-to-ceiling stone mantel flanks an expansive living space offset by a wall of windows to a mountain view.
This, I could get used to.
She glances around slowly and smiles before plopping down on a plush leather sofa. She props her feet on the table. A chef breaks open a head of romaine lettuce in the hotel kitchen. Henry steps in with Evelyn.
So you're sure?
Yes. The rest of your ingredients will arrive this afternoon, I promise. We have more deliveries coming. Lucas, look who I have.
Oh, Henry Ross. The gourmet detective himself. Great to finally meet you.
It's a pleasure.
Gretchen, get over here.
Oh.
Gretchen is my sous chef and my wife.
Hi, it's nice to meet you.
Nice meeting you. Lucas, I have read all of your reviews. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So where did you study?
I don't really believe in culinary schools. I learned everything I needed to know from mentors in real kitchens, in the real world.
I hear you. I came up exactly the same way. How did you end up here?
That was all me. I stole him away from a wealthy family in Colorado. They used to throw these huge fundraisers, which is a great training ground for working here.
They smile.
We're very lucky to have them. Well, the reception starts in about an hour, and I still have some preparations to make. If you'll excuse me.
Of course.
Henry, I'm sure we'll have a chance to catch up over the weekend, but
go.
Sorry. Hey, who's watching this? How hard is it to keep stirring a pot? Just like this. Pick it up.
Gretchen shrugs and smiles at Henry, who follows her to her workstation.
So, a private chef. Sounds like a dream job.
It was.
He studies her.
Must be a big change coming to a busy place like this from a private home.
Ashford was much quieter. Everything now is busy, as you can see.
He glances at Lucas.
He'll excuse me. I need to get back to work.
Of course.
He lowers his eyes. Maggie lies prone on a massage table.
Oh, wow. These are some tight shoulders. How long has it been since your last massage?
I think my daughter was 6.
So I've got my work cut out for me.
Definitely. Well, feel free to dig in. I'm spending the weekend with someone who drives me completely crazy.
Sounds like there's a story there.
Oh, no story. He's just a friend. Sort of. I mean, don't get me wrong. He did give up a presidential suite for me, which is surprising. But most of the time, he's just quite opinionated and a total snob. And he's one of those people who thinks they have your number when really they do not know you at all. And you just want to, like...
The missus wrinkles her forehead.
Sorry. Put me on a massage table and apparently I start oversharing.
Oh, don't worry about it. You'd be amazed what people tell me in this room.
I'm sure.
She grimaces. Henry arrives as guests mingle at a get-together. A server holds a tray of champagne glasses. Henry spots Maggie laughing with a group of men. Evelyn approaches him.
Your friend is attracting a lot of attention.
Better get in line.
He frowns and joins the group.
Next time you're in New York, you give me a call and I'll get you to any show you want to see.
Well, I may just take you up on that.
Cheers, Henry. Why are you standing there empty-handed?
Thank you, Lucas.
My pleasure. Do you know Maggie Price?
Oh, Maggie and I go way back. High school sweethearts.
Henry smirks.
Really?
He's joking. Do you all know each other? Henry Michael Castellano.
Right.
He owns two restaurants in New York. And this is...
Eric Helberg.
You know, I keep reading about your new restaurant. I have to confess, though, I haven't been over to Marin County yet to see it myself.
Well, I would be honored if you dropped by. To be honest, I'm actually a pretty big fan of yours. I've been reading the Gourmet Detective blog since college.
Wow, I don't feel old at all.
Eric was just inviting me over to his restaurant and promised me the chef's table in his kitchen.
Well, aren't you the belle of the ball?
Oh, I'm just keeping the door open to fun.
Didn't take you long, did it?
Michael, come over here with me, please. I'd love to introduce you to a friend of mine.
Maggie, can I get you another drink?
Well, that would be lovely. Thank you.
Lucas takes her empty glass. Eric grabs Henry's arm.
There she is. Danielle Stark.
Oh, good. Henry was wanting to give her some cooking tips.
She steps closer.
Here's your chance. Why don't you go introduce yourself?
Danielle stands with a crowd.
Oh, well,
she looks a little busy.
Maggie smiles.
I think I'll wait a bit.
Are you nervous? Just...
What?
You are.
No.
You're too nervous to go and introduce yourself to a movie star, aren't you? That's too bad. I thought you were going to show her your moves.
I meant show her some cooking tips.
Of course.
A woman wearing a red dress enters.
Hi.
She catches Eric's eye.
Here you are.
Hi.
This is Kathleen Evans. She is writing a profile on me for her Modern Trends magazine. Kathleen, this is Henry Ross.
I believe we've met, right?
That's right, yeah.
Kathleen, this is Maggie Price.
Hi. Nice meeting you.
You too. Have you tried these?
Oh. No, I haven't.
My assistant said that you wanted to talk to me about something.
Yes, but I can't talk here. Can I call you later and we can set up a time to meet?
Yeah, of course.
Perfect.
You!
She turns.
Danielle! You have a lot of nerve showing up here.
Well, I didn't know you'd be here. Why don't we go talk outside?
Oh, now you want to be discreet. That's pretty funny.
Come on, Danielle, we don't want to cause a scene.
Do you know what that little video in your article cost me? The studio took away my 3-picture deal, and no one would hire me for 3 years because of you. You ruined me. So one of us is leaving this hotel, and it's not going to be me.
Danielle, let's go outside for some air, all right?
Danielle scowls and stomps through the crowd. Henry observes a man approaching Kathleen.
How dare you show your face anywhere near my client after everything you did? You're lucky we didn't sue you.
I didn't make her behave that way.
No, you just taped it and put it online. You need to pack your bags and leave.
Hey, man, why don't you just calm down? Hey.
Eric, it's fine.
Maggie joins Henry.
I'm not going anywhere.
We'll see about that.
He glares at them and steps away. Eric watches him go with confusion. Maggie sips her champagne.
Who was that guy?
Danielle's manager, John Harper. He's, a little overprotective. Journalists aren't always the most popular people in the room.
They smile politely.
If you'll excuse me, as fun as this is, I have a date with a hot bath and a good book. So,
good night.
Eric steps away. Henry turns to Maggie.
Awkward.
She frowns at him. Henry and Maggie stroll down the wide corridor to their rooms.
I can't believe it's only 8 o'clock. I guess that massage really knocked me out. Turns out relaxation is exhausting.
She stops at her door and they share a lingering gaze.
Well, I guess this is good night. I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay.
Great.
He steps away, then turns around.
So just tell me, though, is the suite amazing?
She grins.
Incredible.
Yeah, I know it would be. Well, I'm just gonna be down the hall in my very unpresidential suite if you need me.
Good to know.
Yep.
Good night.
He waves as he walks away.
Hey, Henry.
Hmm.
Thank you for the room.
You're welcome.
She smiles at him. Henry surveys his space and makes his way to the kitchenette. A bottle of wine sits on the counter next to a glass. He opens the refrigerator. He looks toward the window with concern and makes his way to the balcony. He peers over the railing and watches a group walk together merrily. Then a woman wearing a red dress floating in a pool below catches his eye.
Oh my god.
He looks frantically down the hallway.
Maggie!
What?
There's a woman in the mineral bath face down.
What?
Please, come on.
Okay, hold on.
She grabs her coat and runs after him. They race down the stairs and through the empty lobby. They slip out the door and run to the mineral baths. They stop suddenly and stare at the empty pool.
She was right here.
Maggie sets her hands on her hips.
I'm telling you.
He stares with wide eyes.
That you saw a woman relaxing in a hot tub?
No, Maggie, I'm telling you, there was a woman floating face down right here.
Well, you were pretty high up, Henry.
Henry stops and stares carefully at the pool. He kneels closer and pulls a pendant from the water. The letter K displays on a circular charm.
Hey, look at this.
He studies the pendant as Maggie steps closer. A memory flashes of Kathleen at the party.
This is Kathleen's. She was wearing this evening. She wanted to talk to me about something. She called Lucy and said that it was urgent that she see me this weekend.
About what?
I have no idea.
Well, maybe she just had too much to drink and she fell in the pool. She came to and pulled herself out, or somebody helped her.
Well, if that's the case, she couldn't have got very far.
They stand in the hallway with Evelyn.
Miss Evans? It's Evelyn DeWitt.
Look, we checked the locker room down in the spa. The front desk has called her on her cell and in her room. She's not answering.
We'd really just appreciate it if you would let us look inside her room, Ms. DeWitt.
Miss Price,
Detective Price, if you don't mind.
Evelyn nods and unlocks the door.
Thank you.
Hello?
Henry follows Maggie into the suite.
Miss Evans?
Maggie steps toward the bedroom while Henry glances at the seating area.
Are you sure about what you saw? Maybe Miss Evans stumbled.
Well, then she'd be up here getting changed. She's not walking around the hotel soaking wet.
He looks past her to the counter.
Wait, there's her computer charger.
Maggie, do you see her computer anywhere or her cell phone?
This looks like her computer bag, but it's empty.
Look, I think we need to call this in.
Whoa, wait a minute. The police?
No, we're not calling anybody yet, okay? We don't have a body. Without a body, this is a missing persons case at best. And even then, not until she's been gone for 24 hours.
Maggie, somebody moved her.
Somebody may have moved her. And if something did happen here, then whoever did it is probably staying at this hotel, in which case they're not going to want to attract attention by leaving. Are there security cameras at the mineral bath?
No. What about inside the spa doors? No, most of the cameras cover the front desk, the lobby, and some of the hallways.
I need you to keep this under wraps for the time being and just keep the conference going as planned, if possible.
That's fine. Just please let me know if you find her.
Of course.
Evelyn looks from Maggie to Henry and frowns as she leaves. Henry glances around the suite.
So?
Maggie moves to his side.
So, I think the best plan is for us to start looking into this quietly.
I can do that.
I mean, under the radar.
I can do that too.
She faces him.
Just follow my lead. Fine.
He shrugs and follows her out the door. Maggie snaps a photo of a footprint at the mineral bath as Henry approaches.
Okay, I checked every locker. There's nothing in there. There's no towel, there's no clothes, there's no cell phone.
Take a look at this. Looks like a men's 10 or 11 to me.
Or maybe a woman wearing a man's shoe. Throw us off.
She turns to him and smirks.
Okay. If she was killed, whoever killed her must have left her in the mineral bath for a minute. Maybe he needed to get a coat or something to cover her up to get her out of here.
I heard people laughing over there on the terrace. That's what brought me out of my balcony. That might have scared him off for a minute.
Came back here, tracked these prints all over the place, pulled her out and went to hide the body.
not likely that he went back into the hotel, which means that she is out there.
That's gonna be easy. I'm gonna find a hidden body in over 50 acres of woods in the dark.
He scowls.
We have to go look for her now.
We don't even know if she really was killed. I think what we need to do is just get focused and try to figure out who may have done this. At least then we'll know where to start. Come on. Let's go back inside.
She checks her phone as she steps away. Henry follows Maggie into her suite.
Oh, wow. Seriously, this is what I gave up?
Yep.
He climbs the stairs.
Oh, come on. There's an upstairs?
Maggie puts her phone to her ear and opens her laptop.
Hey, Bailey, it's Price. I need you to run a background check for me.
You serious? You're supposed to be on vacation.
I know. Just...
please.
Oh, come on, you gotta be kidding me. Look at this place.
Okay. What's the name?
Kathleen Evans. She's a reporter for Modern Trends magazine.
What's going on?
Well, I don't know.
That's what I'm trying to find out.
What?
And you're not going to tell us, are you?
Nope.
Yeah, funny way of relaxing, Price.
So I've been told.
Hey, listen, don't tell Forsyth I called, okay?
All right, you got it.
Thank you.
Okay, that bathroom is bigger than my first apartment. You can fit 6 people in that shower.
You want to trade suites again?
Kinda.
Too bad. Check this out. I think I found something.
He leans toward the laptop.
Excuse me. You're talking while I'm rehearsing? Do you understand what rehearsing is? I am the reason people come to the movie. All of you have your jobs because of me. And if anybody talks while I am trying to work again, I will have you fired. Do you understand me? Fired!
Storms the camera.
Are you recording this?
Yikes.
Wow. Doesn't look like this article is very flattering either. Danielle said this bad publicity cost her a 3-picture deal.
He paces.
Okay, so Kathleen tanks this woman's career, then they bump into each other at a spa, and all of a sudden Danielle goes into an outrage and kills her? I don't know, it just doesn't make sense.
You think I have a better theory?
Looks outside.
Manager?
Exactly.
Yeah, we should definitely question him.
I think I know where to find him.
Really? Where?
Right down there, carrying what appears to be a dead body.
She joins him at the window to see John carrying a woman.
Here.
Look.
They're heading this way.
They run in the dark.
There they are.
John leans over.
Hey!
What are you doing? Who is that?
What's it to you?
Henry rushes past him and finds Danielle passed out. He looks at Maggie.
Look, we're just getting some air. Is that okay with you?
Still early. Let's go back inside.
Look, I was going to bring her upstairs to her room as soon as I could get her vertical. But I'd appreciate it if you could, you know, be discreet about this.
Of course. She must be pretty upset about what happened at the reception.
Yeah. You could say that.
She's got quite a temper, doesn't she?
She's emotional. That's what makes her a good actress.
Hey, I know. I'm a huge fan of hers. In fact, I wanted to talk to her about her next picture. Evelyn mentioned that Danielle might want to learn a few tricks of the trade from me, but then you two left the reception so early.
Well, we went up to my room so she could cool off a bit, and then she went down to the bar.
You didn't go with her?
I can't babysit her every minute, which I regret now because the bartender called me and told me she was making a scene. Look, the last thing we need is people pulling out their phones and putting more of her antics online.
Yeah, we saw that video of hers. Feisty.
She glares at Henry.
You're understandably protective.
Although you were kind of hard on Kathleen, if you don't mind my saying. I mean, you basically threatened her.
She's got a lot of nerves showing her face around here. And it's not just Danielle. She wrote an article about Michael Castellano, too, and it ruined his life. He was telling me all about it. It's so easy to hide at home behind your computer. But people like her need to realize that their targets are real people. And words have consequences.
They stare at him and he lowers his eyes.
Look, it's getting cold and I gotta get Danielle upstairs. If you'll excuse me.
Of course.
Danny, come on, we gotta go.
She tugs Henry.
Danny.
Okay,
That back there is called antagonizing a suspect.
What? I thought we were doing good cop, bad cop.
I'm just saying you're lucky that he didn't get scared away.
Hey, I got information out of him.
Henry, can you please just let me take the lead? All right, I'm going to call Michael Castellano and invite him down to the bar for a drink, but first I'm going to freshen up.
Sounds like a plan. All right, I will meet you down at the bar.
No. I didn't mean us. I meant just me.
But we're a team.
She shrugs.
I just think that I'll get more answers out of Michael if I handle him on my own.
Are you sure? Because I really think this good cop, bad cop thing is working for us.
Henry, let me question him alone. If I learn anything new, I will call you. Otherwise, see you in the morning.
Uh-huh. Sure that's all this is? Just questioning?
Please.
He's very charming.
I'm going now.
Just remember, he is a suspect in a murder investigation.
Are you jealous?
No. I am just looking out for you.
Mm-hmm. She raises a thumb.
Thank you. Good night. I got it.
Closes her door. At the bar.
You're laughing at me. It's not funny. I was already 5'8 by the time I was in middle school. You should have seen my junior prom date. He literally came up to my shoulders.
You're breaking my heart.
I'm serious. Have you seen these shoes? Size 10. You wouldn't understand. You look like you have normal size feet.
Size 11.
See? Men's 11. Perfectly average.
There's nothing average about you.
He reaches across the bar and takes her hand. Maggie looks past him as Henry peeks around the entrance, stepping back quickly when she spots him.
Or this place, because it is so beautiful.
Yeah, this is my third visit, and it never, ever disappoints.
Waves at Henry.
No, because it's so elegant here.
Henry raises his eyebrows. She glares and mouths go. He bumps into a couple on his way out.
That argument at the reception was a bit awkward, wasn't it? Danielle Stark really lit into that journalist. I guess that's movie stars for you.
Kathleen had it coming.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I've been on the receiving end of her so-called journalism.
You're kidding me. What happened?
Well, let's just say that certain things that I thought were off the record were clearly not. The article cost me my marriage.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah, you don't know the half of it.
You know, there's a small confession to make. I looked for you after the reception.
You did?
I thought maybe we could, you know, take a walk around the grounds or something.
I was up in my room. You should have called me.
Oh, well, I would have, but, you know, I didn't know if maybe you had a guest or...
Oh, no, I was totally alone. Trust me, a call from you would have been most welcome.
She smiles softly as he strokes her wrist and pours more wine. Henry encounters Gretchen slicing a loaf in the empty kitchen.
Gretchen.
Oh.
Hi.
Hi. How can I help you?
Wow. That is a beautiful tureen.
Thank you.
Those aren't easy to make.
Lucas enters.
It's Lucas's. It's one of his signature dishes. I'm just finishing it off for tomorrow.
I didn't know any better. I think you were spying on my kitchen, Henry.
No, I'm just admiring your work.
I told him it was yours, Lucas.
Oh, she's very talented in her own right.
Henry studies him.
I bet.
How can I help you?
I just wanted to check on the rest of my order, see if it had arrived for my presentation tomorrow.
Sure thing. I'll take it right back.
Okay.
Henry shares a glance with Gretchen before he goes. Maggie devises a makeshift display board with her TV.
So, about last night... Just so you know, I wasn't spying on you.
Of course not.
Maggie, I just happened to see you. That's all.
Yeah, okay. So, here's what we know. I read Kathleen's article that she wrote about Michael, where she broadly hinted that he was having an affair.
She recalls the bar.
Which I'm guessing was probably true, since right after the article came out, his wife filed for divorce. Oh, and he's a size 11.
Not entirely sure how you got him to tell you he's a size 11, but okay.
Which means we now have three suspects with motive. We have Danielle, John, and Michael. However, Danielle we can cross off the list because I spoke to the bartender last night and he confirmed that she was indeed making a scene in the bar at the time of the murder. However, Michael told me that he was up in his hotel room alone.
So neither he nor John have an alibi.
Nope.
There's also something going on between Eric and Kathleen.
What makes you say that?
Well, I saw them at the reception last night. Eric put his hand on her back and she just pulled away. Maybe they're dating and got into a fight.
Well, murder always comes down to one of two things, love or money.
So, it is a murder?
What it is strange. And unless she magically appears today, yes, I believe it is.
Okay.
He studies her.
You know, I'm giving my presentation this morning right after breakfast. Everyone's going to be there. Why don't you come watch and do a little snooping around?
Yeah, that's a good idea. You know, I also want to ask Evelyn if she'll let us into the security room after that.
Did you just admit that I had a good idea?
They turn to the door. They spy Michael on the phone.
Stop calling me about this. It's done. I took care of it. Nah, she never saw it coming. Good riddance. She deserved it.
In the lobby.
Hey guys, it's me. I need you to run another background. His name is Michael Castellano. He's a well-known chef out of New York City.
Another background check? Are you sure this isn't an investigation?
Nope. Not yet. Oh, and another thing. Can you call the editor of Modern Trends magazine? Try not to raise any alarm bells, but see if you can find out what Kathleen was working on.
Bryce, what's going on?
That's Bryce?
The captain surprises Monroe and Bailey.
Yeah, hi. I was just calling in to let you guys know I'm
having a great time, relaxing, etc.
Good. See, I told you you would appreciate some time off.
You were 100% right. I will see you back at work. Bye.
Bailey and Monroe share a glance as Forsyth returns to her office. Then Bailey types on his keyboard. A server sets down breakfast plates.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, thank you.
Wow, delicious.
Henry and Maggie sit in the hotel dining room. Maggie takes a bite. Henry watches her.
This may be the best omelet I've ever had.
Better than the one that I made you?
How your ego can be both enormous and fragile at the same time is beyond me.
It's a gift.
Eric strides across the dining room.
Henry, Maggie, good morning.
Ah, good morning, Eric.
Hi.
Are you coming to my presentation later?
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't miss that. Listen, have you seen Kathleen anywhere? Because I was supposed to meet her for breakfast. She didn't show up. I've been calling her and texting her, and she's just not answering.
No, I haven't seen her. I'm sorry.
I didn't know that you two were an item.
Me, Kath? No. No.
Ah, my mistake.
Anyways, if you do see her, can you just have her text me?
Of course. We'll let her know that you're looking for her.
Great. Thank you.
Okay.
They watch him leave.
Lying.
Totally.
An audience begins to fill the seats of a presentation room as Henry stands behind a table of food talking to attendants. Maggie enters and surveys the space and Michael stands to greet her.
Hey! I was hoping you'd come. I saved you a seat.
Oh, thank you.
Sure.
Henry watches as she takes her seat.
So, I was thinking maybe we could go for that walk later. Just take in the grounds.
That's an idea. I don't know if you're aware of this, but our hotel suites are across the hall from one another.
Are they now? Well, that's convenient.
He grins.
Okay. Welcome, everyone. In keeping with the spring theme of the conference, today I am going to be making my spicy shrimp panzanella. It's a versatile dish, and it also makes use of the tail end winter greens, which are still available.
It's just... Bear with me. I heard the weirdest thing this morning. You were in the hallway on your phone. I couldn't help but overhear you say something a little strange. You said, good riddance. She never saw it coming.
He smiles uneasily.
So what are you eavesdropping on me now?
Who are you talking to?
Why do you need to know?
Call it professional curiosity.
She shows her badge.
You gotta be kidding me, you're a cop.
Detective, actually. Did I not mention that last night?
No, you failed to mention it.
Glares.
Can you please keep your voice down?
I need to know if you really were alone in your hotel room from 6:30 to 8. And I need to know who you were talking to.
What's going on here?
Now, before I begin, I am going to need an assistant.
I'm not at liberty to say, but I need you to answer the questions.
Oh, really?
Danielle, what do you say, huh?
Maggie stares at Michael.
You're gonna charge me with something? Because if you are, I think I should go call my lawyer. If you're not, we're done here. It's nice meeting you, Detective.
Lucas watches him leave.
For those of you that don't know, Danielle is here at the conference learning how to look like a professional chef in preparation for her next role. So, Danielle, let's get you suited up with this apron first, okay?
Would you mind tying that for me, please?
Yeah. Yeah, I can do that. Okay, I'm just, I'm going around.
He brings his arms around her.
So, Danielle, how do you feel about spice? I like my panzanella with a little kick.
Oh, I say the hotter the better.
He shrugs.
Well, you and me both. And what is your experience like with shrimp?
Ordering it, tons. Cooking it, not so much.
All right, let's get to the basics here. I'm going to show you the best way to peel these so that they don't fall apart.
I can be gentle.
I can see that. Where was I? Oh, yes, I almost forgot. The most important ingredient, premium aged rum. The darker, the better.
Okay, how much of this do we need?
No, it's not for the shrimp. It's for you and me. It makes cooking way more fun. Here you go. Bottoms up.
They drink. Maggie checks her watch in the lobby.
So Danielle's totally fun.
Yeah, looked like you guys were having a great time.
How'd I do?
Great.
Yeah? I mean, I tried to be informative, yet still entertaining.
You nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready to get back to the case, because Evelyn's been waiting.
Yeah, of course.
He follows her, and they observe security footage with Evelyn and an officer.
Okay, what we need to know is where Michael Castellano and John Harper were between 7 and 8 o'clock. Now, do you have cameras on every floor covering the hallways?
Yes, but they don't cover every room.
Right. Michael was practically across the hall from me in 708. Can we check that, please?
He types on his keyboard, then looks up at her.
That whole wing isn't covered.
Of course not. That would be too easy. What room was John, Danielle's manager, in?
Evelyn turns to another desktop.
Room 507.
7, I'll check that one. There's 507 there. This is at 6:35 p.m.
John and Danielle walk side by side.
So there they are entering the room together.
She studies the film.
Can you speed that up? All right, stop. 7:32, she leaves the room alone. Now, the bartender said that he remembers her being in the bar around 7:30 and that he called John to see if he could come down and get her around 8:45. Let's check and see if John leaves the room before then.
He fast forwards the footage.
Okay, there's John leaving the room. Okay, here's John leaving the elevator. And entering the bar right there. So John was telling the truth. He didn't leave his room all evening until he went down to Collector. Now, he's on the fifth floor, so it's not like he jumped off the balcony.
Maggie rolls her eyes.
Okay.
Can we have a look at when Kathleen left her room? That would have been between 6:45 and 7:45. She was in 304.
Sure, just give me a second.
In the footage, Kathleen opens her door.
There she is, 7:30, leaving her room. Wait, who's she talking to?
Eric steps out shouting at her.
Now you see, I told you they were an item.
Not a very happy one.
Eric points in her face.
Let's follow where she goes.
Kathleen walks alone.
7:40, she enters the spa. Evelyn, was there anyone working the spa desk last night?
The receptionist leaves at 6:30.
Look, there's Eric.
Oh my God, he followed her into the spa. Fast forward for us. Let's see if he comes back out.
They lean forward to watch as the footage zooms. Maggie and Henry appear on the screen.
Stop. That's us.
You don't too.
Maggie and Henry share a glance.
Eric never came back out.
Okay, great. Thanks, Monroe.
All right, the boys are doing a check on Eric.
Okay, what number is Eric's room again?
Evelyn said 306.
Okay, it's this one up here.
He must not be in.
Oh, thank you. Listen, could I get a couple of extra packets of coffee, please?
Sure. Here you go.
Thank you. You're a lifesaver.
They smile as the maid leaves, then slip in the door.
Eric?
Hello?
She walks past a kitchenette.
Eric?
Then she moves past the living area toward the bedroom. Henry looks at the floor.
Here we go, Eric's shoes. $20 says that these are a size 10.
He turns the shoes over.
Well, that's inconvenient. Size 12.
Maggie opens a book.
Hey, look at this. This looks like Kathleen's day planner. What would this be doing here? Looks like a bunch of interview questions for Eric.
Henry reads it with her.
No, wait, stop. What does this say right here?
Well, clearly a talented chef, the first thing one notices about Eric Hellberg is his ego.
They share a glance.
He appears to care more about his PR and growing celebrity than he does about food. Whether or not he'll be a lasting fixture on the Bay Area's culinary scene or just another flash in the pan, only time will tell.
Ouch.
They close the book and gaze thoughtfully into the distance. Eric sits on the terrace and checks his phone. Then he covers his eyes with his hand as Maggie tosses the planner on the table.
Where did you get that?
I think you know exactly where we got that.
What were you doing in my room?
We're more interested in knowing what you were doing last night when you walked into the spa right after Kathleen.
Wait, what's going on here?
Her badge.
SFPD. We need to ask you a couple of questions.
Where's Kathleen? Is she all right?
This needs to stay between us. Kathleen's been missing since last night.
Oh my God.
Hotel security camera caught you and Kathleen fighting right outside her door before she left for the mineral bath.
What were you two fighting about?
He shakes his head.
About what was in there? She left her notebook in my room, and I was dumb enough to read it. Can you please tell me what is going on?
Just answer the questions.
He looks from Henry to Maggie.
Yeah, you were right. Kathleen and I were together, and I guess I'm an idiot because I thought that she actually liked me.
He looks away.
The camera showed you following Kathleen right into the spa.
Yeah? So? I was upset. I wanted to talk to her. She didn't want to talk to me, so I left.
How did you leave?
I walked off the terrace, and then I walked along one of the paths.
To where?
I don't know. Just around the property. I needed to clear my head.
How long were you gone?
About an hour. And then I went back to my room.
All right. Look, Eric.
Henry sits.
Since you were close with Kathleen, did she say anything to you about another article or maybe another story she was working on? Anything that could have put her in danger?
Actually, yeah, she said that she was working on something big. She didn't want to talk to me about it, but I know that she keeps everything in her computer and there's a lot of notes in that book. But that's everything I know.
Henry and Maggie nod.
All right. Well, if you think of anything, let us know.
Of course.
She taps Henry's arm and leaves.
I just want to help.
Henry stands and follows Maggie. They pause at the railing.
So, what do you think?
I still don't trust him. I think we need to figure out what the killer did with the body in the middle of the night. He would have taken it as far away from the hotel as possible. Not too far, because he'd have to be able to get there quickly.
An outbuilding, maybe?
Exactly. Let's go for a drive.
Where?
She points to the woods.
There.
He follows her gaze to a cabin peeking through the trees. Henry runs past her to a golf cart.
Henry, let me drive.
No, I'm driving.
Come on, Henry, give me a break.
No, I'm driving. You always drive.
What are you talking about? You drove us here to the resort.
On the other case, you always drove the squad car.
Of course I drove the squad car. It's my car.
He points to the passenger seat and scowls.
I can't believe we're even having this conversation. It's ridiculous.
You're very controlling, you know.
How am I being controlling? I'm letting you drive.
Just saying.
Oh my God!
He jerks.
You might want to put it in forward, genius.
I know that.
Sorry!
A man shrugs as they speed toward a winding path.
You keep walls up between yourself and other people. Do you know that?
What walls? I don't have walls.
Really?
Really? Seriously, what walls are you talking about?
Well, you don't share anything about yourself.
I do, too. I share with a lot of people, just not people that I work with.
Oh, so that's what I am, just some guy you work with?
No, Henry. You're in a category all on your own.
Thank you.
That wasn't a compliment, Henry.
They drive past a golfer standing in a sand pit.
So come on, you must be a little glad you came, right?
I mean, in spite of this whole murder? Sure.
He parks on the path.
And you have to admit, we're a pretty great team.
Let's not get carried away. We haven't solved anything yet.
Henry begins looking around.
Monroe, what do you got?
Well, I pulled something up on Eric Hellberg. This guy's no angel, that's for sure. He's got one DUI and one prior for domestic abuse coupled with a restraining order.
Restraining order, huh?
Yeah, followed by his ex-girlfriend. We also followed up with Kathleen's editor, like you asked. Get this.
Kathleen received several death threats 3 months ago.
3 months ago? That's when her article came out on Michael.
He checks the door of an app building.
Speaking of Castellano, turns out his wife owned everything, including
both restaurants.
Henry steps behind the outbuildings.
When she found out about the affair, she
basically fired him. He's filed for a Chapter 11.
Really? Wow. Okay, thanks, guys. Call me if you get anything else.
He peers into a doorway and looks past a tractor and gardening tools.
So Eric's not such a nice guy after all.
He pauses and stares.
Maggie?
He moves slowly toward a patch of red under a pile of burlap bags.
And get this. Michael has more motive than we thought. Kathleen didn't just destroy his marriage. She also ruined him financially.
Maggie!
She steps inside.
What?
He stares at her, then peels back a scrap of burlap to reveal a human leg.
I think we just found Kathleen.
Police fill the crime scene.
Well, judging from the cyanosis in petechia from around her mouth and eyes, I'd say it's a pretty good bet the victim died of asphyxiation by drowning. I also noticed there's some bruising around her neck.
Someone held her under.
Yeah, looks like it.
Oh my God, poor Kathleen.
I will also run a DNA check from underneath her fingernails. She would obviously have been struggling.
You should keep an eye out for anybody walking around with scratch marks.
Yeah.
Maggie turns around.
Bryce!
All right, I'd like you to come with me.
What the hell's going on here?
Hey, Captain.
The boy told me that you've been calling in for background checks for the last 24 hours. Tell me you haven't been hiding a murder investigation while on vacation?
Captain, I need you to trust me on this. I have purposely been keeping this quiet because I believe the killer is still here.
Which is exactly why we need to lock this place down.
I don't want him to get spooked. I am telling you, we're onto something. We used the rear service entrance to keep a low profile. Forensics is almost done. They're going to be out of here in a couple of hours.
Oh, Price.
Captain, please. We can use the element of surprise to our advantage. My instincts are telling me that this is the right play. I just need 24 hours.
Your instincts, huh?
We're so close to cracking this. I'm telling you.
The captain looks from Maggie to Henry and slowly nods her head.
Okay, you've got 24 hours, Price, and not a moment longer. But if you screw this up, it's on you.
Maggie nods her head. The captain frowns, then leaves, passing Bailey and Monroe.
What do you want us to do?
Go to Kathleen's office and take the death threats into evidence. See what the lab guys can find out on them.
Got it.
Henry studies her with approval.
Let's go find Michael.
Either way.
Rain spatters around them as he follows her along the path behind the outbuildings. Golfers work on their putts on a practice green next to the Larkspur Pine Spa. Michael crouches on the green, gazing from his ball to the hole as Henry and Maggie arrive in their golf cart. They stride steadily toward him as he prepares to swing. They pause and Henry raises his hand to silence Maggie while Michael completes his putt. The ball misses the hole and Michael lowers his head. Maggie scowls when Henry gives her the go-ahead to speak.
Excuse me, Michael. We need to ask you a few more questions.
You know what? I think I'm gonna call my lawyer now.
That's a good idea, because we found Kathleen's body. She was murdered.
He tilts his head.
What?
Your wife has a controlling interest in your restaurants. When Kathleen exposed your affair, you didn't just lose your marriage. You lost everything. She cut you off financially, and now you're virtually bankrupt.
We also learned that Kathleen received several death threats at exactly the same time her article on you was written.
All of which points to you being our number one suspect in the death of Kathleen Evans.
Oh, now, hold on a second, okay? Just hold on. Now, everything that you just said is true. But I didn't do anything to Kathleen.
Really? Because that phone call this morning sounded pretty incriminating.
I was on the phone with my investors, okay? We just closed a deal on a new restaurant. The Good Riddance was in reference to my ex-wife.
You still have no alibi for last night between 7 and 8 p.m.
I just told you. I was in my room making calls. You don't believe me? Check my phone records.
He glares at them. Then he holds up his cigar.
Hold on. I do have an alibi. Somebody was complaining about my cigar smoke on my balcony. Front desk must have called up at least a couple of times. They even sent somebody up to my room. Check with the concierge. They'll back me up.
They stand in the lobby.
Michael's telling the truth. A person in the room above him called downstairs twice. We log all complaints. A member of our staff went up and spoke with Michael personally at 8 o'clock.
Okay. We know that Kathleen didn't enter the spa until 7:45. There's no way that Michael could have killed her and was back up in his balcony 5 minutes later smoking a cigar.
How long am I supposed to act like there's nothing going on here?
I know that this is difficult. Please just bear with us a little bit longer.
All right, but I'm getting very uncomfortable with this.
I understand. Thank you for your patience.
She nods at them. Henry watches her thoughtfully as she struts away. He points in her direction.
What about Evelyn? Think she'd have any motive for hurting Kathleen?
She crosses her arms.
I'm impressed. I'm starting to be the world like a detective. Everyone's a suspect.
Well, she is acting pretty calm for someone who just had a murder happen in her hotel.
I agree. I did a basic check on her. No priors came up.
Henry glances away in thought.
I think I'm going to go up to my suite and start going through Kathleen's notebook. See if I can find anything useful in there.
Okay. While you do that, I'm going to go sit in on some more presentations.
Maggie smirks.
To investigate.
Mm-hmm.
For the case. We're supposed to act natural.
Yep. We need a doggy bag.
Eric sets a plate on a board.
Here you have it. Spring halibut with Viard sauce, along with fried gnocchi and asparagus. Thank you.
Henry enters in the back of the room and catches Eric's eye.
Thank you. This recipe, along with all of my other favorites, will be on my restaurant's website. Please come check us out. Thank you, everyone. Excuse me, I'll be with you in just a minute.
He joins Henry in the hallway.
Henry, tell me that you found Kathleen.
No, not yet.
But we need to do something then.
We are. The police are involved. But listen, Eric, I have to ask you some more questions.
Eric wrinkles his brow.
Detective Price discovered that you have a prior for domestic assault. Your ex-girlfriend filed a restraining order against you.
Hand to his forehead.
Yeah, look. That was my old girlfriend. She was really angry when we broke up. She started accusing me of all these things. My restaurant had just opened up. I couldn't afford that kind of negative publicity. And my lawyer told me to just take a plea agreement, have it all go away. I did. I regret it because I was completely innocent.
Nods at his wrist.
How did you get that scratch?
I don't know. I must have done it this morning. What are we going to do about Kathleen?
That's what Maggie's working on right now.
Eric scowls and looks away. Maggie flips through Kathleen's planner. She lingers over a page with notes, passports, how, social security, Tetra, 6-year cover-up, and arrow points to L. French, R. Smith, Taylor. She types L. French and R. Smith into her search bar. Text. Search results found on 50,496,271 pages. She sinks back into her chair and frowns. Eric looks around nervously while watching Lucas and Gretchen.
The key in beef Wellington, as in life, is balance. Many delicate ingredients, filet mignon, pâté, truffle, pastry, in just the right proportions.
In the audience, Danielle spots Henry. She waves and John frowns.
And the arrowroot, please?
Gretchen stares blankly at Lucas. She reaches for a bottle.
Quickly.
He frowns at the bottle.
Nope. I said the arrowroot.
Are you sure you don't want the Madeira and then the truffle?
waffles?
Traditionally, yes, but if my wife would allow me a little leeway, this is my take on the dish.
Gretchen nods sheepishly and lowers her eyes. She hands him the arrowroot.
Thank you.
Henry watches the pair thoughtfully. In Maggie's suite, dirty dishes rest on a tray next to a fruit basket. Henry reclines on the sofa tossing an orange. Maggie sits across from him.
I guess now that we know Michael has a confirmed alibi, that makes Eric our number one suspect.
I don't know. I just don't think he's got the eyes of a killer, you know?
You have a lot of experience looking into the eyes of a killer.
I have a feeling if I keep hanging out with you, I will.
He throws her the orange.
You know, I saw something today at Lucas's presentation. He made a mistake, and Gretchen corrected him. I actually think that of the two of them, she's the real talent. He's just good at putting on a show. I'll tell you one thing I know, though. That is an unhappy marriage.
He strikes me as someone with a fragile ego. And I recognize the type.
Is that a reference to your ex-husband?
She looks at him.
Yeah, actually.
They both smile as she throws him the orange. She studies her hands.
His name was Richard. We were married for 13 years.
Wow, that's a long time. What happened?
Another woman happened. I knew things weren't perfect between us, but I kind of thought we were okay. No matter where we were on vacation in Hawaii. People wonder why I'm against vacationing.
Henry grins.
What about you? Never been married?
No.
Why not? You don't want to be tied down?
No, it's not that.
He shrugs.
I just haven't met the right woman yet, that's all.
His eyes meet hers.
Yeah, it's getting late.
She nods slowly as he sits up.
See you tomorrow.
Sounds good.
He takes his jacket and tosses her the orange on his way out.
Enjoy your room.
Will do.
She smiles and sniffs the orange. At the resort, Maggie approaches the kitchen and overhears Lucas and Evelyn.
What is going on with you?
Yeah, I do.
This is not the time.
It doesn't matter, Lucas. Why won't you listen to me?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Just calm down.
How am I supposed to calm down?
Maggie watches them.
What about our plans? Everything you promised me?
Baby, you know I love you.
I don't know anything anymore.
Wait.
Evelyn sighs.
Come here. Come here.
She steps slowly toward him. He takes her face in his hands and kisses her passionately while Maggie watches from behind the door.
I have to go to work.
I know.
Maggie rushes across the lobby with her phone to her ear.
Come on, Henry.
Hello?
Hey, it's me. I've been looking for you. Where are you?
On a massage table.
I'm at the gym. Why?
I have something important to tell you. I'll be right down.
No, don't do that.
Yeah, I'll be there in 2 minutes.
No, wait, hold on.
Sits up.
I may not be at the gym.
Maggie stares at Henry and smirks as he sits on the massage table wearing a terry cloth robe.
I'll give you two a moment.
Thanks, Ruby.
He avoids Maggie's gaze.
Really? I thought we were investigating a murder, but apparently you still have time for a massage.
Well, it was already paid for. I didn't want it to go to waste.
Listen, I saw something very interesting this morning. I went down to the kitchen and I nearly walked in on Lucas and Evelyn kissing.
What?
I know. They were fighting about something. I don't know what it was, but I did hear Evelyn mention that they had some sort of a plan.
Interesting. So, Gretchen is secretly the better cook, and he is having an affair with his boss.
She shifts her eyes.
What does any of this have to do with Kathleen's murder?
She smiles and raises her finger.
I know.
Henry fills a glass in the hallway.
Cucumber water. Want some?
No, thank you.
He scowls.
So, Ruby, how long have you worked here?
About 4 years.
4 years. And you were telling me earlier about how you're plugged into all the gossip around here. What could you tell me about Lucas and Evelyn?
Like what?
Like how long they've been having an affair?
Oh, you've heard about that.
Yeah.
I don't know how long it's been going on exactly. For years, though.
Do you think Gretchen knows?
It's an open secret around here, so I have to imagine she does.
That seems like a pretty dangerous move, starting an affair with your head chef.
Oh, you don't know Evelyn. She's the kind of person who gets what she wants.
What does that mean?
Well,
she glances around.
You're probably going to find this out anyways, so...
Henry looks at Maggie.
There's always been talk about Evelyn's dead husband. He died under pretty mysterious circumstances. She inherited a lot of money, including Larkspur.
What kind of mysterious circumstances?
It was a boating accident. He fell overboard. No one ever charged her with his death, but people around her talk. She chartered a boat for his birthday. He didn't know how to swim.
He looks at Maggie.
When did this happen?
I don't know, several years ago? Before I worked here.
Thanks, Ruby.
Maggie studies her phone as she follows Henry through the lobby.
Hey, here's a link to the article on Evelyn's husband. Max DeWitt, owner of the Larkspur Pines Resort and Spa, drowned off the coast of San Francisco yesterday when he fell off a boat he had chartered with his wife. He is survived by his wife, Evelyn DeWitt. The date?
6 years ago.
Kathleen was investigating a six-year cover-up.
We need to find Evelyn.
They turn as EMTs enter the resort with a gurney. Maggie glances at Henry before they race after the paramedics. She pushes past the crowd at the door.
White female, 40s, possible cardiac arrest. BP 82 over 55 and dropping. Difficulty breathing. Victim called herself in with nausea, tremors, blurred vision.
Evelyn is on the floor attached to oxygen. Maggie turns to the crowd.
Everything's fine. Guys, please let the paramedics do their job, okay? We need to keep this whole area back here clear.
Henry spots a vial.
Thank you.
Label, sensitive eyes, daily cleaner. He spies a glass of juice on a table and picks it up while the paramedics continue administering oxygen to Evelyn. He sniffs the glass and takes a sip. Maggie watches him with curiosity.
Hey, this may not be a heart attack.
Excuse me?
Maggie, I think she may have been poisoned with tetrahydrozoline. Eye drops. You need to pump her stomach immediately. Look, the symptoms are exactly the same as a heart attack, right? The dizziness, the low blood pressure, the nausea. Look, Maggie, I tasted the saline in her drink. Trust me.
You're sure?
Yes.
She flashes her badge.
He works with us. If he says he detects the drug, then you should believe him.
Reason to suspect tetrahydrozoline poisoning. We'll intubate and perform gastric lavage en route. Let's get her moving.
They're in the lobby.
I just heard.
What's going on, Henry? What happened?
Well, Maggie's on the phone with the hospital now, seeing how Evelyn's doing. How does she seem to you this morning?
I don't think I saw her this morning.
No, I think you did. Two of you were in the kitchen together?
His shoulders fall.
Well, she seemed like she was feeling fine.
Did she?
Lucas frowns.
Yeah.
He looks behind Henry.
Maggie, what did the hospital say? Is she all right?
Yeah, they pumped her stomach. Her vitals are stabilizing. So, It was a good call. Looks like she's gonna be okay.
Thank God.
He looks away. Henry turns to Maggie.
Lucas, if you'll excuse us a minute.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
They step into the office and Maggie closes the door.
How did you know she was poisoned?
I saw this empty bottle of eye drops, and then I tasted the saline in her drink. I worked at a restaurant once where a waiter was poisoned by his ex-girlfriend using eye drops. You know, people think that it just causes stomach upset, but it's actually a very dangerous prank. It causes symptoms similar to a heart attack, and if you consume enough of it, it can be fatal.
She glances at him.
I'm gonna bag these things up for evidence and get them checked for prints. Wait.
She stands and turns to face him.
What was the name of the drug you mentioned to the paramedic?
Tetrahydrozoline.
She nods and smiles.
Tetra. I couldn't figure out what tetra meant on its own. Nothing comes up. But let's cross-reference tetrahydrozoline with these names.
Kathleen's planner sits open on the desk as Maggie types.
Shoot.
11,352 pages.
A whole bunch of results adding up to nothing.
Let's go back to basics. It's like you say. Murder always comes down to one of two things. Love or money. Who would want to kill Evelyn?
Gretchen. Betrayed wife?
Points to a note.
Ashford. Add Ashford to your search.
He leans closer as she types.
Ooh, look at this. Mysterious eye drops. Ashford, England.
England? Not Colorado?
April 6, 2009. 6 years ago.
An article.
Restaurateur Edward Taylor collapsed while jogging through the countryside earlier this week. While his death was initially attributed to a heart attack, the autopsy revealed Taylor had been poisoned with tetrahydrozoline, the main ingredient in eye drops. Police are looking for two suspects, Bob Smith and Linda French, co-owners with Taylor of the Belle Aurora, a popular local bistro. An arrest warrant has been issued for French and Smith, whose whereabouts are unknown.
I click on their names.
Yep.
Her eyes widen.
Oh my God.
Look at that. They lied to Evelyn about Colorado.
Photos of Lucas and Gretchen. Maggie and Henry stride into the busy kitchen.
Excuse me, have you seen Lucas or Gretchen?
Oh, they don't work Sundays, but Gretchen was just in here. She went down to the storage room.
Yeah, where's that?
Down in the basement.
Thank you.
Henry follows her out as she brings her phone to her ear.
Monroe. I need you and Bailey to get to Larkspur ASAP. I'm about to apprehend two fugitives wanted for murder. Their aliases are Gretchen and Lucas Miller. I'm headed into the hotel basement now.
We're on our way. Maggie?
Wait for backup.
I can't. They're a flight risk.
Henry follows her to the basement stairs. She secures her gun.
Aren't you full of surprises?
You should go back to your room and stay there.
Not a chance.
They climb down the stairs. She opens the basement door, pointing her gun as she looks around. They step slowly past hanging uniforms and storage racks. They move around a corner past a row of golf carts. Henry continues to follow Maggie, who points her gun in front of her as she walks. She turns a corner where Gretchen is partially visible as she kneels at a shelf filling her bag.
Freeze! SFPD, put your hands up.
Gretchen stands slowly and steps closer.
I have to leave. You don't know what he's like.
Stop.
You mean Lucas?
He killed Kathleen. And I'm next. And I think he's the one that poisoned Evelyn. I'm so scared.
You don't have to worry about Lucas, but we need you to come with us, okay?
Lucas has a gun.
That's not gonna happen.
He stands behind them and aims at Maggie.
Put the gun down.
She slowly raises her hands.
Put it down!
She gently lowers the gun to the floor.
You get over to me.
He stops it with his foot and picks it up while he keeps his gun pointed at her.
You killed Kathleen because she was onto you, What I don't understand is why you killed that man in England.
I poisoned him.
They turn to her and she shakes her head.
But it was an accident.
Gretchen, don't.
What do you care? You haven't cared about me for years.
He stares as she steps closer.
Edward kept making advances. He didn't care that I was a married woman. He didn't even care that we were business partners. He wouldn't stop.
The memory replays.
I swear to you, I didn't mean to kill him. I just wanted to teach him a lesson.
She opens his water.
And I heard that eye drops can make a person sick. But I used too much. And then when the autopsy revealed that he'd been poisoned, they suspected us right away.
Of course they did. We were his business partners. What did you think would happen?
He wasn't supposed to die.
They suspected us because Ed's will left the restaurant to us. We didn't even know that. And the police found Gretchen's fingerprints all over his water bottle, and that was enough. They wanted to convict us.
He steps toward Maggie.
We had to run. We had no choice. And now I have to do it again.
Gretchen weeps as he waves the gun.
Come with me. All of you. Move!
They walk slowly. Lucas holds the gun on Maggie as she duct tapes Henry and Gretchen to chairs.
Hurry it up.
She looks up at him.
Enough. Step away.
Maggie stands and he tugs at the chairs. He points the gun at her.
Can you come in with me?
Walk. Gretchen shakes her head.
Lucas, don't do it. Don't.
Wait.
Don't stop. I am warning. Don't leave me here. No.
He stops to watch her as she looks at him pleadingly.
Move.
Then he looks back toward Maggie and nudges her away. Henry glances at the storage shelves and spots a pair of scissors. Gretchen turns in surprise as he scoots his chair toward the shelf. Lucas guides Maggie into the stairwell and up the stairs.
So why would you kill Kathleen in such a public place?
I didn't want to kill her. I just needed to talk to her. We met her by the mineral baths, and I begged her not to print that story. She didn't care. She didn't care what it would do to us. We started to argue, and I pushed her, and she just fell into the water.
He peeks out the window on the stairwell door. Henry continues to scoot across the floor. He stares at the scissors. Lucas turns to Maggie.
So you held her under?
I didn't have time to think. But I couldn't just let her ruin everything.
And when Kathleen started asking questions, Evelyn got suspicious and started digging into your past.
Toiletry bottles scatter as Henry backs against the shelf. He wriggles his fingers behind his back to reach the scissors.
Why would you use the eye drops again? Didn't you realize that that would lead us right to you?
I'm not a cold-blooded killer, despite what you might think. I'm not an expert on how to get rid of somebody. I never wanted to hurt her. I love Evelyn, but she wouldn't stop asking questions.
So you silenced her?
If you don't stop talking, I'll silence you too.
Henry clasps the scissors behind his back and wriggles his wrists.
Okay. Let's go.
He steps behind her.
Open the door.
He follows her into the hallway.
There's nowhere to run, Lucas. Backup is already on the way.
That's why you're coming with me as insurance.
To where?
None of your business. I disappeared once. I can do it again. Keep moving.
He guides her to the kitchen with the gun hidden under his jacket. Henry scrapes the scissors over his taped wrists. He pulls his hand free and rips the tape from his mouth. Then he cuts the tape from his ankles and looks up at Gretchen watching him. Lucas nudges Maggie through the busy kitchen.
Hey, Chef.
Hey. Just keep moving.
He walks closely behind her as they exit a side door. Henry steps toward Gretchen.
Okay.
He yanks the tape from her mouth.
I'm sorry, I have to leave you here.
No, no, please don't leave me here! Don't leave me!
Henry runs up the stairs, ripping off scraps of tape along the way. He races down a hallway. Lucas nudges Maggie into a crowded presentation room. Monroe and Bailey arrive at the spa entrance along with a patrol car. Henry grabs a knife as he tears through the kitchen. Monroe and Bailey aim at Lucas. The crowd scatters.
Drop the weapon! Drop it!
Lucas, don't do anything stupid, okay? It's over.
Morgan, back off.
He holds the gun to her neck.
Lucas, just put the gun down. We can talk this through.
I'm not going to prison. Just let me walk out of here. I promise I'll let her go unharmed.
That's not the way this works, Lucas. Put the gun down.
Stay back!
Henry approaches with a skillet. Lucas turns and fires.
No! Lucas, wait!
A skillet flies in the air as Maggie kicks Lucas. They wrestle for his gun.
Lucas!
He turns and Henry punches him in the jaw, knocking him on his back. Maggie grabs his gun. They stand over him panting. Maggie looks up and Henry points to the skillet.
I am so buying a set of those.
Really?
Monroe joins Bailey on the floor.
Come on, get him.
They drag Lucas to his feet. He glares at Henry as he stands and they cart him away.
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law. You have the right to an attorney.
Did you see that? Huh?
A frying pan?
Right?
Oh, brother.
She rolls her eyes. Gretchen walks in handcuffs to a patrol car. She frowns as she settles into the back seat. Henry stands at Maggie's side watching Bailey escort Lucas to a waiting patrol car.
Well, we did it again.
You know what this means.
We're a good team.
That I should run in the other direction when I see you coming. You are bad luck.
Wait a second. I had never even seen a dead body before I met you. Maybe you're the bad luck.
Henry.
He turns.
Bailey and Monroe told me that you saved the day. Thank you.
It's my pleasure, Captain.
I'm the one who had to wrestle the gun away from Lucas. You nearly got yourself shot.
And yet here I am, unscathed.
Oh, and just so you know, Price, this weekend does not count towards your vacation days. Talk to HR.
Forsythe looks at Henry.
I have a feeling that I'll be seeing you again.
He tilts his head and she shares a glance with Maggie. Henry grins as she walks away.
You know, I really like her.
Maggie rolls her eyes.
So, should we pack up?
Yes. I think I've had enough of this place.
They walk together to the entrance.
You had me worried there for a moment.
I had it all under control.
Clearly. You had him right where you wanted him.
I did. If you'd given me another moment, I would have disarmed him.
Oh, is that what I was watching?
Yeah, that's what you were watching. Who brings a frying pan to a gunfight?
That frying pan saved your life.
No, it didn't. It saved your life.
No. That was all part of my plan to distract you.
Oh, sure.
Look, you should just thank me for escaping you.